Center for this session is Janet Karens from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, who's going to be speaking on soul searching, outbreak of soul virus among ratteries and pet owners in Illinois.
Good morning. In December of 2016, a Wisconsin woman was hospitalized with a febrile illness. On her history, it was found that she owned and operated an in-home rattery. This is an example of a rattery. The Wisconsin patient's rattery held over 100 rats, which she bred primarily for pets, but also as food for her about 30 or so snakes. While the Wisconsin patient was hospitalized, a household member took over care of the rats. About 2 weeks later, they also developed flu-like symptoms. Ultimately, both patients tested positive for an acute hantavirus infection called soulvirus. A traceback investigation was performed for rats shipped to the Wisconsin facility over the prior 3 months. Three facilities, as indicated by the blue stars, had shipped rats to the Wisconsin rattery. Two were located in Illinois. Soulvirus is a type of old world hantavirus, and hantaviruses are members of the Bunyaviridae family and are single-stranded negative-sense RNA viruses. The natural reservoir for soulvirus is the Norway or the domestic rat. And because rats are found globally, soulvirus has been identified throughout the world. However, human soulvirus infections are most common in Asia and are rare in the United States. Transmission from rats typically occurs through contact with infectious rat saliva, infectious urine or droppings, or aerosolization of contaminated bedding. The incubation period is typically 1 to 2 weeks, but can be as long as 8 weeks. Soulvirus symptoms range from no or mild flu-like symptoms to hemorrhagic fever with renal syndrome, which can cause acute kidney failure or even death. Diagnosis is usually through a blood sample to look for either IgM or IgG antibodies, or through PCR to detect viral RNA. Treatment is supportive care. Our objectives were to identify additional human or rat cases of soulvirus infection and to determine facility-level risk factors associated with infection. So facilities were any locations where rats were housed and included ratteries where pet rats were bred and sold, or pet homes. Confirmed facilities had either a human or a rat that tested positive for soulvirus infection, and suspected facilities contained rats that had either come from or were sent to a confirmed facility. So once a suspected facility was found, we identified any person that had contact with the rats. We then asked them to fill out a questionnaire for their own rat exposure and health history, and a questionnaire for their rat's history, including the number of rats at their facility and where they came from. Next, we sampled human and rats for soulvirus. Human blood samples were tested via PCR and IgG-IgM serology, and rats were tested via blood samples or carcass submission for PCR and IgG. Once we identified a positive rat or human case, a facility was confirmed, and then we performed trace back and trace forward investigations of rat shipments to and from the confirmed facilities. These identified facilities were then considered suspected, restarting the whole process. In total, we tested 68 humans and 355 rats for soulvirus in Illinois. Our traceout investigation identified over 70 suspected facilities in 13 states in Canada, with 45 Illinois facilities in 14 counties, as shown in red. Of 68 humans tested in Illinois, 9 were positive. Of these, 8 were associated with ratteries and 1 with a pet home. All rattery owners tested were positive, compared to only 2% of pet owners. 8 of these 9 had evidence of recent infection. None were hospitalized or died. 355 rats were tested for soulvirus, with nearly 1/3 positive. Most of these positive rats were from ratteries. 40% of rats from ratteries tested positive, while only about 10% of rats from pet homes were positive. These are the results of the trace-out investigation in Illinois. Of the 45 suspected Illinois facilities, 11 were ratteries, 31 were pet homes, and 3 were of unknown type. 13 facilities were confirmed, as shown in yellow, including 7 ratteries and 5 pet homes. Another 13 facilities were negative, as shown in green, with the remainder lost to follow-up. Comparing ratteries to pet homes, ratteries were significantly more likely to be confirmed facilities. They were also more likely to have more rats, to have more rats tested, and to transfer rats out of state. The odds of being a confirmed facility were 8 times greater in ratteries than pet homes. All other significant factors, including number of rats and rat transfers in or out, were also associated with being a rattery. Rat purchase date was not significantly associated with confirmed status. So initial recommendations to confirm facilities were to euthanize or depopulate all the rats at the facility. This was recommended for both infection control and for potential eradication of the virus. However, there was potential for these owners to repopulate after a thorough cleaning. However, as we learned more about Solvirus, we found that it was more widespread than previously believed, and also infections in humans were less severe. When rattery owners learned this, more were unwilling to pursue depopulation. While CDC still recommends euthanasia as the best method of control, Illinois is now providing 2 other options. The first is testing and culling, and in this option, all rats are initially tested, with the positives as shown in red being culled. After 4 weeks, all rats are retested and positives are again culled. The process then continues until all rats tested are negative for Solvirus. The second option is quarantine, in which rats are allowed to live out their natural lives at their home or facility. This requires that the facility be closed without any rat movement out of the facility and minimal exposure to new people. Our primary recommendation to both ratteries and pet owners that were suspected but not confirmed was prevention. Prevention of Solvirus is similar to other rodent-borne diseases, with an emphasis on good hand hygiene, including hand washing, covering breaks in the skin, and cleaning any wounds thoroughly. Because these rats are pets, children should be supervised when handling rodents, and contrary to any Google image search results, owners should not kiss their rats. For cleaning, gloves and an N95 respirator mask are recommended. To prevent aerosolization of bedding, the bedding should be dampened, and for Solvirus, we recommended using a 10% bleach solution. And then it should sit for 5 minutes before being picked up with a paper towel or wet wipe rather than being swept or vacuumed. So why is this important? Well, domestically acquired human Solvirus cases are very rare in the United States, with less than 10 acute cases ever reported. In 2017, 8 people in Illinois alone were diagnosed with recent infection. Also, by some estimates, nearly 500,000 U.S. households own pet rats. And this is the first time in the U.S. that pet rats have been found to harbor Solvirus and have them be implicated in transmission to people. Finally, confirmed facilities were more likely to be ratteries, indicating that there may be an increased risk of infection in these environments. So as you may have guessed, there are multiple challenges and lessons learned. Out in the field where we were sampling rats, the major challenges were to find people to actually do the sampling, getting equipment for the sampling, and coordinating both human and rat sampling with veterinarians, physicians, and CDC. The rattery community itself also provided some challenges. They were an extremely tight-knit community, and so both information and misinformation basically spread like wildfire among them. This also led to the biggest lesson learned, which was consistency in messaging, both among state and local partners, as well as across states to these owners. On the plus side, I think we also learned the value of collaboration. For us specifically, we were lucky to collaborate with lab animal vets, both at CDC, who helped me perform the rat sampling, with lab animal vets at a veterinary school who provided us with important equipment, including a portable anesthesia machine, which was very valuable. And then we also worked closely with many personnel at state and local health departments who were wonderful and performed a range of jobs, including meeting us at rest stops just to pick up our biohazard waste, taking pictures of what we were doing, which is where all these came from, and then also providing data. Finally, we collaborated across states, and for us specifically in Illinois, we really appreciated the team in Wisconsin, who both allowed me to invade their state for a week to sample some rats, and also were extremely helpful in talking over next steps for our rattery owners. On that note, here's a list of just some of the wonderful people who helped me with this project.